This is your president, Donald J. Trump. Welcome to the Midnight Cinephile podcast, broadcasting live from the Universal Joint deep in the heart of Texas. Enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dennis Miller.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here tonight. I didn't think I was going to make it. I was running a little late. Coming in from National Airport, I'm coming across the 14th Street Bridge. There's a vicious traffic jam. I figured it must have been some horrible accident. As it turned out, the kids from Fame had broken out into an impromptu production number. You know, they are going to live forever. Especially that Coco. Well, nice to be here, nice to be back east. I've been out in Los Angeles, LA, the only city in the world where people list CAT scans as film credits on their resume. I stopped on the way back, worked my way across the country, did a few gigs in the deep south. To be frank, I find these people anything but deep. I was in Birmingham, Alabama, working a small comedy club called I Don't Get It. And Alabama. You talk about Darwin's waiting room. You know what I mean? There are guys in Alabama who are their own fathers. You know what I mean? This is the... It's the sort of place where people read the Sunday comics with a yellow highlighter. Just in case they stumble across a particularly meaningful passage in Beetle Bailey. I think the only more backward place I've ever been is West Virginia. I mean, this place makes Mayberry look like a think tank. You know, I went to see Burt Reynolds' film Cannonball Run 2 in West Virginia. At the end of the movie, everybody broke up into individual discussion groups. Try to cut through some of that clever Reynolds subtext, you know, the recurrent use of DeLuise as a Christ figure. Went to my first square dance in West Virginia. There's an activity I don't get nearly enough of, huh? What is this, dancing for people without imaginations, or what? I go to dance, I go to express myself. These people are into being ordered around the floor by some neo-fascist Sam Drucker, some sort of bizarre B.F. Skinner hoedown or something. You know, it's worse than that is somebody who doesn't dance, rather they act out the lyrics to the song. Ever get stuck next to this asshole on the dance floor? Ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough. Hey, pal, ain't no fucking dance floor wide enough, all right? What's with this kabuki shit, Twyla? Loosen up, Mumin Shantz. Get a limbo stick, okay? So I'm a comedian. That's my job. Jobs are funny. There are no hard, fast rules on making it to the top, but a pretty good rule of thumb is if you make it to age 35 and your job still involves wearing a name tag, you've probably made a serious vocational error somewhere along the line. Work shoes are another bad sign. You know, you just don't see any Fortune 500 CEOs running around in steel-tipped chukka boots. I think the easiest job in the world has to be coroner. Surgery on dead people. A lot of leeway there, huh? What's the worst thing that could happen? You know, if everything went wrong, maybe you get a pulse. Oh, Christ, honey, I gained one on the table today. Conversely, I think the hardest job in the world has to be bank guard in Alaska. You got 50 customers in the joint. They're all wearing ski masks. You should love it when they warn you about bank robbers. Be on the lookout. He's armed and dangerous. I think armed says it all for me. When are they ever armed and gregarious? You know, like, sure, occasionally you'll bump into an Amish minister packing an Uzi, but I don't really. If I appear a little out of it tonight, it's because it finally just sunk in that Zemed has replaced Terry on Dance Fever. And Adrian Zemed, there's a hoofer, huh? I don't think I've seen choreography that stiff since the Lee Harvey Oswald prison transfer. Don't you love the fact Jack Ruby got into the garage that day? There's a pretty stringent security network, huh? Hey, boss, the guy who owns the local titty bars here, he's got a handgun. Should I let him in? Yeah, let's bring him in. I mean, who the fuck were they turning away? That's what I want to know. I'm also a little depressed in that, to me, life is merely the downtime between Publishers Clearinghouse Home Sweepstake giveaways. You know, if I ever do win this prize, I quite frankly don't think I'm going to show up to collect it, because at some point that becomes a public admission that you opened that fucking envelope in the first place. And I'm just not sure I want to be lumped in with the rest of these winners, huh? You seen a group picture of these people? Talk about a genetic bouillabaisse. I mean, Jesus. Yeah. You thought there were a lot of zeros in the prize, huh? I notice there are two groups of people in the world now, those who get pathetically drunk in public and the rest of us poor bastards who are now expected to drive these pinheads home. What am I, fucking Cato over here? What's pissing me off in the world lately is this new trend where people go out in a field at 3 a.m. and walk on hot coals to pull their life together. There's a pretty direct cause and effect relationship there, huh? Get the feeling the marketing boys at Dr. Scholl were behind this at some point? Okay, but not everybody needs foot care. How do we get them involved? Let's shoot it around the room. Brainstorm. Bobby, what do you got for me? Fuck it. Get them to walk on fire. Bingo. Run with that. I love that idea. Let's call the Kingsford people. Get a cooperative crossover deal going. I love it. So, what's up? Been a long day. I got up early this morning. Had breakfast at the International House of Pancakes. You know, as soon as you walk into the place, there's that distinct worldwide feel, huh? Yeah, I was baffled by the complex international menu, so I just had the flapjack du jour. And, you know, my syrup steward helped me with the selection. I chose a very dry maple. It was busy, but never precocious. I find it hard to believe these places are international. I mean, if you're on the Champs-Élysées, are you really gonna eat at this shithole? This austere French captain leaning into the table. Pardon me, monsieur, was that the sausage link or patty? Oh, what the hell, I feel Gigi. Let's say link. For the first time in my life, damn it, I am alive. Got out and did a little clothes shopping today over here at the Kmart. I think when I say Kmart, we're all hip to the fact that I'm talking Style Central. Picked up a couple short sleeve suits and a little Century 21 blazer for the holidays, you know. Cheap clothing stores always have these 2-for-1 sales. Hey folks, 2 of shit is shit, all right? If they really want to fuck you, they'll give you 3 of these things. So all you need is 3 lime green leisure suits with lapels shaped like a fucking hang glider, okay? Yeah, throw in that brocade dickie too, what the hell. feeling very Kenzo tonight. Watching a little cable before I came out tonight, ESPN, 24-hour sports cable network. Big night tonight, sumo rodeo. And they also had female gymnastics on. Now, I love this activity ever since the Summer Olympics, specifically the women's uneven parallel bar event. I think I'm going to be real skeptical the next time a woman tells me I'm being too rough in bed. I'm watching these gals bang their cervix off a frozen theater rope at 80 miles an hour, you know. You don't see any men in that event, okay? This is one medal the guys would have to pick up posthumously because the little gerbil's just not built for that stunt. You know, if I ever hit anything that hard with my dick, I'm going to spot weld to it, but... Then again, maybe that's me. I'm a different breed of cat. Driving over here tonight, I stop at a 7-Eleven. The man in front of me orders a big gulp. Now, do I need 32 ounces of any fluid? This drink has a fucking undertow. What, do you dock your jet ski in this thing? I mean, who do they think is that thirsty? I guess this is for the guy who walks right off the surface of the sun directly into the 7-Eleven. You know, I'm a little parched, Habib. What do you have in a depth charge size drink back there? Now they have something called a super big gulp. I can only imagine you must back a tanker truck up to your house, jam a nozzle down your throat, and start irrigating you like some personalized Tennessee Valley Authority project or something. I get back in a car, I start driving, I get stuck behind a very old woman driver. I don't think people should be allowed to drive if they're old enough to remember when there weren't any cars. Old people always drive like they're constantly looking for an address. And the worst thing is the belt on her coat is hanging out of the car door, dragging alongside the ground. You just want to get up next to her, veer your car over, run over the belt, jam her face up against the window. Hey, Aunt B, let's pick it up. I got a life to lead, cha-cha. I think the single most frustrating aspect of driving is the red light. You spend your whole life stopping at red lights. Then at the end, there's a very cruel irony. When you die, they let your funeral procession run the red lights on the way to the cemetery. You know, because when you're dead, it's important that you make good time, huh? Well, I'm dead, but I'm early. I'm not much for travel of any mode. When I do travel, though, I go by plane. I don't trust trains. I never have. Even as a young boy, I was skeptical. I remember those old movies where somebody would get on the train. Halfway through the journey, they'd reach up above the window, yank down on that cord. You know, I don't think I ever want to be on any form of mass transit where the general public has access to the fucking brakes. I'd hate to find out we went off the tracks at 200 miles an hour because Gus thought he saw a woodchuck. So I fly. Flying has its own built-in limitations, one of which is the inevitable confrontation in the airport with the Hare Krishna. I know this is America. You can believe whatever you want to believe, but come on. These guys aren't even in the ballpark, huh? I know this isn't a true religion. It says right in the Bible, God created us in his own image, and I just know he wouldn't wear his hair like that. You know what I mean? When I think of God, I think of Barry Gibb, not Daddy Warbucks with a fucking slinky hanging off the side of his head. I mean, let's push that back, get some moose, some Tenax, something. I think it's nice to have a non-smoking section on planes. I think we ought to take it a step further. I think we need a non-speaking section. I don't know about you, every time I get in a plane now, I end up sitting next to some babbling mousketeer who's way too happy with the airborne experience. They always feel compelled to tell me their life story from DNA up till that afternoon. And some of these people get in any kind of recliner and they think they're in therapy. I need a little peace and quiet when I fly. I'm very frightened. I won't even turn on that air blower above the seat. I always get the feeling I'm diverting power away from the jet. What about those masks that drop down in the event of decompression? That's a pretty flimsy looking apparatus, isn't it? Doesn't this look remarkably like a parquet margarine cup on the end of an enema bag or something? You know, they always have these bizarre instructions to start the flow of oxygen, tug down lightly on the cord. And you know, when I'm shoulder rolling at 700 miles an hour, lightly just isn't in my fucking vocabulary, all right? You know people are gonna be Conan and those things right off the bulkhead. Something intrinsically cruel about having the last 40 seconds of your life turn into a Lucy skit. I think instead of oxygen, they had to pump in nitrous oxide. This way. This way, if the plane does wreck, that first rescue team comes onto the scene. You're up in a tree, still strapped in your seat, you know, just laughing your ass off, you know. Guys are, Bobby, get over here. Look how hip this guy is. I mean, he's naked, he's blue, he's howling. Oh, this cat is centered, huh? You know what I hate is when you're sitting in coach class and they pull that curtain on first class. Oh, I see, they paid an extra $40 and I'm a fucking leper, right? I always get the feeling if the plane's about to wreck, the front compartment breaks off into a little Goldfinger mini plane. They're on their way to Rio and I'm a charcoal briquette on the ground, you know. I was down in San Antonio, Texas not long ago working a club. Just coincidentally that week in town at a young Christian convention, San Antonio was overrun with 10,000 happy young Christians. I flew in on US Air with a plane load of happy young Christians. You know how disconcerting it is to be the only person on the plane who cares if it goes down? I'm going into a mountaintop, they're going to a better place, you know, so. Hey kids, I think the wings just fell off. Kumbaya! What's with these people? It's like life in Hef's jacuzzi or something, you know. Whenever they talk to you, they give you this move with the arms, this celestial bench press or whatever the hell this is. What is that, pumping grace? Anybody have a line on that? I'm sure Christians are nice people, but as hard as they might find it to believe, I do have my own personal concept of love for Christ that works quite well. I'm a little indignant when they tell me I'm going to hell if I haven't been born again. Pardon me for getting it right the first time. I mean, how many times can you pull this shit? Can you be born again and again and again like some evangelical Gabor sister or what? Stay in a lot of hotel rooms. I think the worst thing about staying in a hotel is when you shut the door to your room, the first thing you're confronted with is that rather ominous chart on how to safeguard yourself in the event of a fire. I think if you really want to safeguard yourself, you should call down to the front desk and ask them if they've recently fired any illegal aliens from the kitchen staff. It's always some edgy drifter from Tunisia who's a little disenchanted with a comprehensive dental plan and decides to torch you to get back at the Ramada family, you know. Every time I go into the bathroom of a hotel, there are two switches on the wall. Never once in 5 years have I hit the light switch. I'm always sitting there in the dark with a nice breeze going from the exhaust fan. Why do they have the exhaust fan in the bathroom? Anybody having friends over for a sink hibachi or what? And if something comes out of you that's so bad that you need an exhaust fan, you're about to die within a week anyway, okay? And they're so paranoid about you falling in a shower, they have those industrial-grade sand strips on the bottom of the tub. Marriott is completely overboard. They have ski boots welded to the tub so you can, you know, lean back and get at that hard-to-rinse area down here where you usually have to bring the water in on the arm viaduct or outdo the hydroelectric shuffle method or arch the back at just the right angle to get that Chattahoochee Canal effect down there. Rinse out the old DMZ, huh? We all think we have our own little secrets, don't we, huh? Oh, when we're alone, we all do the same stupid shit. If you get a hole in the end of your sock, you want to wear the sock anyway, so you put the sock on, take it, elongate it, bring it underneath, wedge it up into the toe groove, put it into the shoe, release, you got a whole new sock, huh? American ingenuity in its purest state. This is why socks come in size 8 to 13, so one can make this Doppler modification, as it were. So, film on my last flight was the latest Star Trek opus, Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. I've never been a real Star Trek fan, but I've always admired the phaser as a weapon. Seemed a little limited, though. We only had the two functions, either stun or kill. I always thought they should have had a more existential setting, like maybe one for melancholy. Oh, Christ, Jim, I gotta get off this planet. This space shit just doesn't make sense anymore. What are we doing with our fucking lives? I need a day job. I remember when we were young, we used to watch Star Trek on TV. We'd always get real high before the show, then during the opening credits, try to figure out which white dot was gonna turn into the Enterprise. Obviously, I'm not the only one who might have used that psychic litmus test to gauge the parameters of the evening. I don't get high anymore. I don't mind drugs as much as I mind the people you have to get high with. We've all had this happen. You're sitting there in your third joint of some incredibly potent Sao Paulo North Slope trip weed, kind of guys on Amtrak smoke. Your right leg has just got up, excused itself, and left the room. Kid next to you passes you a joint and gives you this, hey, listen, man, how do I know that this whole planet isn't conceivably just like an electron in some other atom? You wanna get the hell out of here with that kind of talk, Freud? I'm high. I don't need this kung fu shit right now, okay, Grasshopper? How do I know what color blue is to you? It's the color blue to me. Yeah, check the crayon box, ass. All right? I'm fucking high over here. What am I, Nova, for Christ's sake?
Films are my hobby. I like the older films, the classics. Wizard of Oz is a great film, but all films have a fatal flaw. In The Wizard of Oz, it's that scene towards the end where Glinda, the good witch, comes up to Dorothy and gives her this.
But you had the power to go back all along. All you had to do was tap your heels together.
I just wanted Dorothy to slap the shit out of her, huh? Yeah. You had the power to tell me that 3 hours ago, honey. Did I need this drug trip? I'm in Kansas doing laundry next to get a fucking tree chasing me down the road, all right? I want a flight out of here now! Or I start throwing dead midgets out the door, all right? Went to see a subtitled French film yesterday, Truffaut's 400 Blows. I can't really tell you a whole lot about the movie. The kid next to me was dyslexic. We were slamming heads throughout the flick. Stallone. There's the quintessential thespian, huh? This guy has about as much range as a Daisy air rifle. You know, I don't think I've seen depth in a character portrayal like that since... I gotta go back to Larry Storch on F Troop. I mean, you know, some of Agarn's earlier ensemble work with the Hakawi tribe. I guess the high watermark was the It Is Balloon episode. Staying in a lot of hotels watching films on this new cable subscription service they have, Selectivision, where you get to pick up one time. Film, pay a one-time fee. I think we've all had the rather solitary experience of being on the road late at night alone in a hotel. You check the video menu, as it were, see a listing for that softcore R-rated porn film. You figure, what the hell, nobody gets hurt. You punch it up, you think nothing of it till a couple days later, you're checking out, they give you that bill right there in black and white. Teenage tit freaks. Twice, you know. You feel so filthy, you punch up a Disney film just to cleanse yourself, you know. I think what I'd like to do now is a piece I don't frequently do in public, but there's been such a up with people, Walton Mountain at Christmastime vibe in the room tonight, I thought I'd share. Occasionally, I'm laying around the house during the day. I like to play a little game with myself where I take famous people throughout history with the same last name and juxtapose their positioning. For instance, just imagine if the commander of the Union troops in the Civil War was not Ulysses S. Grant, but rather Cary Grant. I think it might go something like this. No, I'm just fucking around. I would never do that. I just wanted to get right up to the precipice, pivot, and jeté back to Coolsville. Films are my hobby. I'm not a particular fan of TV, and yet I work in TV. That, to some extent, should convey to you the whore-like nature of my existence. I'm particularly offended by these game shows, specifically Let's Make a Deal, which is back on the air now. I was watching the other night. Monty stumped the entire crowd. He offered $50 to anybody who could produce some dignity or self-respect. Came up snake eyes on that roll, huh? What kind of name is Wink Martindale for an adult? Hi, I'm Wink. This is my hyperkinetic daughter, Remcycle, over here. And these commercials, I mean, how stupid do they think we are? Soft soap in a dispenser for messy children. You know, if your kid can't get bar soap together, do me a favor, hold him back a year, all right? What is this, Damien Four, the shithead, or what? I mean, come on, it's soap. Wet it, wipe it, good night. What do you need, a fucking schematic here? It's not a detonator, for Christ's sakes. It's Cam-A. These Maxwell House commercials with this guy and his dog, Hal and Duke, travel the country like Ansel Adams on peyote buttons, taking pictures of sunup. People have them in their house for Java and a croissant. Yeah, I know not a day goes by when I don't have a complete stranger traveling on foot with Cujo up into my pad for a cup of Joe. I'm brewing a coffee, he's putting a fucking axe in the side of my head like Texas Percolator Massacre or something, you know. I could walk the country, too, if I drank that much goddamn coffee, all right? Let's break it up. Have a Pop-Tart, something, for Christ's sake. These feminine hygiene ads I'm being inundated with. Some pretty fertile women running around out there. These girls have more periods than a Hemingway novel. Their time of the month is the month. Copernicus used these chicks to set up the lunar cycle. You know, men feel left out of that whole gynecological process, no matter how hard it is for a woman. Ladies, you have to remember, essentially, men are megalomaniacal in nature. They like to be involved in every single facet of their female's existence, and they feel left out here, cheated, because they don't have a corresponding experience. This is why men like shoe shine so much. It's the closest we come to gynecology. We get to put our feet up on those little fake feet, you know. Which brings to mind a question, do women tip their gynecologist, huh? Now that looks great, Doc. Here, get yourself a little something, you know. He gives it that one last whap with a buffing ring. One of these National Enquirer commercials for inquiring minds like me. Yeah, these people have Mensa written all over them, don't they, huh? I pick up the Enquirer just to see where Elvis has turned up this week. This guy didn't work this hard when he was alive, for Christ's sakes. Now he's showing up in people's tater cellars or hovering over a swap meet in Iowa, you know. Maybe it's just me, but I think you gotta slow down a little when you die. You know what frightens me about the National Enquirer is there's a subscription form in there. I can see if you're checking out of the supermarket, you look off to the left-hand side, you see a picture of Princess Carolyn of Monaco with a Martian hand growing out of her forehead. Maybe you've got an impulse buy, okay? But if you're sitting at home with this form thinking, I'm gonna need this valuable data for the next couple years, you're a dangerous fucking individual. I think society's gotta step in before you decide to breed, you know? I guess that's obvious to most of us. How would you like to be a photographer for the National Enquirer? Is this the lowest possible rung on the photojournalistic ladder? There are Pulitzer Prize-winning artists out there covering the insurgency in Chad, the political unrest in Afghanistan. You're sitting at your dining room table doing still lifes of a yam shaped like Hitler. You know, what circle of Scavullo hell does this get you into, huh? Ever read the classified ads in the Enquirer? These are priceless. I saw one in there and actually said, learn how to avoid ripoffs. Send $5. Now, you gotta be a real piece of Samsonite to answer this ad, okay? Well, honey, I'll send 10. We'll be doubly protected, okay? What are these bed commercials on TV? How many of the men in the room have thought about buying a Craftmatic adjustable bed just to see if you could blow yourself? You know, you get that V going. It's decision time, huh? You suck your own dick, you've made a commitment. I mean, there's no forgetting that the next morning. Wait a second, did I blow myself last month? The hell was I thinking? I wasn't wearing a rubber. I don't know where I've been, for God's sake. I gotta lay off that absolute. These old Milwaukee beer commercials, you have these four brain-dead hicks sitting in the Everglades. It's like 3:30 in the morning. They're hunched over in a crock blind, munching on platypus burgers, sucking on a warm six-pack. The one asshole pipes up, you know, it don't get any better than this. No? Now why don't you just put that 22 in my mouth and pull the fucking trigger, all right? Professor Positive. Because I just don't find this tundra that Mondo Jovial, okay, pal? One of these Snickers commercials where they treat Snickers like it's the ultimate food stuff on the planet. Like you can subsist on this shit. Try eating nothing but Snickers for around a week, you're gonna look like fucking Papillon, okay? I always have this young kid with this incredibly convoluted story from the fourth dimension. You know, I work in a sporting goods store, and let me tell you, sometime around lunch hour, we get so darn busy, I don't have any time to put any food in my body. This is what happened the other day. We're having our midwinter ski sale. It's around 2:30 in the afternoon. I'm running on empty. I have nothing in me, no complex carbs, no fructose, nada. Waiting on this young woman over here, right in the middle of the transaction. I don't know what the heck happens to me. I get all kooky, zany, wired. I think it was a sugar imbalance. I wake up. She's got a ski pole stuck in her head. I must have killed her. I wish I would have had a Snickers bar. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 kid. Come on. Slow down, kid. Come on. It's candy. It's not Soylent Green. All right? Lighten up. What's happening in the world? I guess much of the issue in the world now deals with sex. Now that we've had this fun new variable dropped into the equation, huh? You fuck, you die. When did that turn up on the menu, huh? Anybody remember when the worst thing might be you'd have to buy breakfast, you know? Thank you for the jaded applause. Yeah. I've always treated sex somewhat respectfully, though. I guess earlier on I was a little more capricious about it. But I think you have to be semi-serious about it. I think you should trust your partner implicitly. At the very least, I think you have to believe they won't make fun of the faces you make during sex. Because, you know, when we orgasm, we all make that one face where we look like Shemp when he needed cheese, you know? You don't want the woman looking at him, honey, what are you turning back into, Bill Bixby? Or, what is this, some Kafka water bug thing? Or, happiest moment of your life, you look like a complete asshole, you know? This is why men lose their erections right away. It has nothing to do with physical limitations. You look down and the woman you're with, it's like, all of a sudden you're in bed with Goober, you know? It's like, honey, stop that right now. I don't ever want to see that face again. No, I can't. Not right. I can't. You're going to have to flip over. I can't. Not right now. I think women are a little more creative sexually than men. Men are so often saddled with the birthright of being the sexual conqueror. They have little time for nuance. Indeed, their main preoccupation seems to be keeping score. Women, classically the sexual recipients, have a lot more time to lay back, relax, plot their next move. Let me show you the primary difference in the room tonight. How many of the men here actually used a little flap on the front of their underwear? I'm 34, I've never used that. What is that, a little decompression chamber for the penis? Or equalize the pressure before you bring it back on board the Sea View? What is that about? But women love to use the little flap. They get to play all sorts of fun women games, like Here Comes the Moray Eel out of the cave, and Flipper's Got a Backache, you know. Let's Interrogate the Political Prisoner, you know. Open the pod bay door, Hal, you know. I have a theory. I think for the first 18 to 20 years of a young girl's life, she's familiar with the male genitals, but only on a sexual level. Anatomically speaking, she doesn't know what makes it tick. So when she finally forms her first intimate bonds with a young man, somebody she trusts, the first 6 months of the relationship turn into a big penis stress test. I mean, that doesn't hurt if I turn it around three times like that. That doesn't hurt if I pull this up on top like a little hat. I can actually look right into that. Honey, for Christ's sakes, what are you, Chuck Yeager? You know, I mean, they always want to see what it can withstand. You know, you're reading a paper here, does that hurt? You look down, it's in a Black & Decker Workmate. Well, you know, honey, that hurts a lot, all right? So let's put the belt sander away. Because that really does hurt a lot. I mean, I love you too, baby, but you're watching way too much done of you, okay? I think it's a quaint moment in any relationship when the woman feels comfortable enough with the man to begin doing a ventriloquist act with the penis. You wake up in the morning, they've got it stretched up here. Look, honey, it's talking to you. I know, baby, I own the puppet, all right? And let's move it back to home base, okay? What am I, Gumby here? This is not Velcro, this is attached. So let's put Gland Chop back in the carport, okay? But I guess all the fun we've had with sex over the years has changed drastically. News on the sexual front is unrelentingly bleak. I read this morning where they now believe you can get AIDS from hoping you don't get it. They say when you sleep with somebody now, you sleep with everybody they've slept with for the last 10 years. Well, they've amended that. It's even worse. They now believe you've also slept with everybody they turned down. Boy, imagine the day they cure AIDS, huh? Oh, man. I mean, if you can't get fucked that day, give it up. But I mean, this is gonna be like VJ Day with a heart on, you know. I am gonna fuck a lot the day they cure AIDS. I might even treat myself to a little sodomy, just symbolically thumb my nose at the deposed death spore. Now people are whining about the fact they have to wear condoms when they make love. This seems to me to be a rather minor argument. I'll tell you how I approach it. I wear two in my everyday life. When I go to fuck, I take one off. I feel like a wild man. You know, it's sort of like swinging two bats in the on-deck circle, you know, when you... A lot of sex in the news, too. Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. Hard to believe Jim Baker would want to go outside the marriage for sex, huh? This has got to be like fucking the Joker from Batman or something. I mean, you know, this is... While we're on that Batman thing, does anybody else ever get the urge to see Nancy Reagan dressed up in Frank Gorshin's old Riddler costume or... Reagan getting up there, huh? 77 at the end of this next term? 77? And he has access to the button? You know, my grandfather's 77. We won't let him use the remote control for the TV set, all right? This guy would have been kicked out of Menudo 60 years ago. I guess Reagan's hurting, huh? He had the rug pulled out from under. I'm sure he had felt he carved out a niche for himself in history as a pretty good leader, but... I guess in retrospect, the big winner in that last election might have turned out to be Walter Mondale. Although I'm sure it didn't appear that way at the time. If you think about it, he's got to spend the last 3 years in a relatively normal existence with his loved ones outside the scrutiny of the presidency. But it must have hurt that night. What an ass-kicking that was, huh? This guy made McGovern look like William the Conqueror. You know, I don't remember the final count, but I know when I went to bed, Reagan had 598 electoral votes. Mondale had 3. You think about it, that's only 3 more than I had. I didn't even run, you know, I mean. This guy spent $40 million and I almost tied him. So, you talk about not having a date for the prom, huh? Guess he'll be turning up in American Express card commercials. Hi, do you know me? A couple years ago I ran for president. I got stomped like a narc at a biker rally. A lot of terrorism in the world, huh? Beirut, there's a toddling town. It's like to be a window washer in downtown Beirut, huh? I swear, boss, it was clean. I turned my back, the fucking building is gone, man. I mean, I'm rinsing off the squeegee, no hotel. I don't know, can I punch out? That whole section of the world's crazy. Khomeini puts women to death for dancing. I'd like to hold this bastard down and make him watch Solid Gold, huh? Just push this old man right over the brink. Look, Khomeini, that spandex is crawling up the crack of her ass. See that fucking turban unravel there, huh? How do they pick these psychos to lead their country? Yasser Arafat, the guy's wearing a tablecloth from an Italian restaurant on his head. He looks like Mr. Roper with a hangover for a grand. What is that thing? Didn't Lady and the Tramp eat pasta off of that in the alley, or what? Let me tell you something about Lebanon, folks. It's the few rotten million that spoil it for the other 11. You know what I hate about terrorists? Is this bizarre ability they have to rationalize incredibly violent behavior in the name of God. They'll always tell you they're merely biding time till the Messiah comes and vindicates their actions. Yeah, I can only hope when the Messiah does come, they don't rob his flight through Athens Airport, huh? Yamal, you didn't shoot the guy in the sackcloth, did you? Oh, you shithead, that was Yahweh. I'm waiting 6,000 years to rap to the guy, you ice him before he can spill it. Try some decaf, Gunga Din, Jesus. I think we have to get biblical with these terrorists. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. They kill one of us, maybe we kill one of them. Now, I know that's a heinous thing to say. Sociologists will tell you if we do that, we lower ourselves to their level, and they win. All right, maybe they do win, but nice to know a couple of their boys won't be at the trophy ceremony, huh? Things seem to be in better position with the Russians, although that can go at any point. I don't know anything about the Russian people. All I see is the stock news footage of their parades. I presume that's all they see of us, in which case they must think our ultimate weapon is a 40-foot floating underdog balloon that we send over to hump the Kremlin into submission. I guess all the greatest minds in Russia are working on a Simon Bar sinister balloon to counteract our first strike capability. And is it nuclear or nuclear? You know, I've actually heard United States senators on C-SPAN refer to it as nuclear. Now, color me reactionary, but I don't think you should vote on this shit till you learn how to pronounce it, okay? I mean, can we get a consensus on this one way or another before they do drop the bomb? I'd hate to spend my last few moments on this planet mired in a syntax discrepancy, you know. What else is new in the world? The Beatles have come out with their compact discs. I was reading this morning that from his cell in Southern California, Charles Manson said, you know, the clarity on these CDs is just amazing. And I guess in retrospect, they probably weren't talking to me on the albums. I must have just had a blown speaker wire or something. I feel like such an asshole, I really. You know what I love every year is when Manson shows up for this parole hearing with a swastika gouged in his forehead. You know, what better way to signal the board that you've pulled your personal thing together and are ready to hit the streets again, huh? Big story out of California this week, an annual story I happen to love, the medfly sighting in Los Angeles, where they find five fertile medflies in LA. How do you find five insects in a city the size of Los Angeles? They got 10,000 illegal aliens going through that town every day. Nobody can get a beat on them. They nailed these five fucking flies, all right? And I want to meet the guy who determines whether they're fertile or not, huh? Talk about your bad part-time jobs. You know, what pisses me off in the news is these mass murderers and the way society coddles these people. Guy kills somebody, what's the first thing we do? We put him in a hospital for observation. Oh, you better keep an eye on him. He might do something crazy, huh? What are we looking for? Red wine with fish? White slacks after November 1st? You know, I mean, the murder itself tipped me off, huh? That was my first big clue Colonel Mustard was having a bad day. And the Pope doesn't help me. Does any of the Pope goes to the prison where the young man is who tried to kill him and he forgave him? Forgave him. I don't know about you, I was just praying that the Pope would lean over and go, hey, you little punk bastard. If you ever pull a gun on me again, off of the funny bathrobe, I put my papal foot up your Hindu ass, all right? All the cardinals are holding the Pope back, you know. It's like, get out of here, kid. He's crazy when he's like this. Your history, Haji. The fuck off me. Rich Lou, waste that prick. What's that? Oh, I'm the Pope. I don't hit back. Yeah, fuck you, pal, okay? You're lucky my chick's here. I like the Pope. I like the way he dresses, sort of that Neo Duran Duran approach to fashion. The Pope has two hats. He has that little cereal bowl number. Then he has the taller fence post hole digger model where you turn him upside down, start working those little Pope legs together, you know. You know, when I was younger, I would have been afraid to tell that joke because of possible repercussions from the deity. I'm Catholic, would have had to go to confession. The thing that always struck me as unique about the Catholic ritual of confession is no matter how bizarre your sins were, the priest had a penance right there at his fingertips. You could go and bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I was at the petting zoo today. I went down on a baby rhino. He's got a penance for you, like he's sitting back there with some bizarre penance conversion chart or something. So, okay, blew a rhino. Our fathers. Thank you very much. Been nice. Good night, folks. Bye bye. To be quite frank, if I had anything worth saying, I would have said it by now, but that doesn't mean I'm not enough of a showbiz whore that I won't come out here and suck that last bit of adulation out of you. Once again, you've been nice. Thank you very much, and good night.